Welcome to Stark & Stark's Franchise Law Podcast. Stark & Stark is a full-service regional law firm with a national client base. This podcast is presented by the firm's franchise practice group and is intended to provide listeners with an analysis of recent legal developments and the latest business trends impacting the franchise industry.
This is Adam Siegelheim with Stark & Stark Franchise Group. We're here today with Steve Beagleman from SMB Franchise Advisors. Steve, how are you?
Hi, Adam. How are you this morning?
I am well. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
So today we're going to be talking about Item 19 and the importance of having an Item 19 and the different ways you can structure your Item 19 financial performance representation. And we'll also talk about that if you do not have an Item 19, how it impacts your sales process, as you're obviously limited in certain areas of what you can and can't say. So let's start off with, it seems that pre-Great Recession, you had a lot of franchise systems that did not use an Item 19. Since the recession took place in this quote-unquote new normal, it seems that every year more and more franchise companies are implementing an Item 19 earnings claim. Are you finding that also?
Yeah, Adam, we definitely are. So more and more companies are utilizing an Item 19 in their FDD document to educate potential franchisees as to sales for the concept, revenues, cost structures, because in today's times, the educated franchise buyer or the franchise buyer is more educated and wants to know answers before they're going to make a significant investment of money and time into a franchise business. So they certainly want to understand some of the cost parameters and structures and revenues that they can achieve. Now, you certainly, if you don't have an Item 19, can recommend that a franchise candidate or prospect go and talk to existing franchisees, and they still should do that anyway, even if you do have an Item 19. But it has made it a lot easier for franchisors, and when they're talking to franchisee candidates, to show them an Item 19, give them an idea of the revenues, give them an idea of the cost structures to enable them to be able to sell franchises and award franchises quicker.
Of the various companies you've been with, have any of them not used an Item 19?
We have a few startup companies that haven't been in franchising long enough to be able to have numbers that they can really quantify and utilize an Item 19, but it's a select few. So most of our clients that we've worked with have an Item 19, and if they didn't have an Item 19, we strongly recommended it and helped the company put one together so that they're able to utilize that in the FDD document and as part of the sales process. And our clients do utilize that during the sales process by putting it in their PowerPoint presentations, their webinars, and really educating franchise candidates about the numbers in the business, because obviously they need to understand it in order to make a business decision whether they want to move forward with the concept.
So let's talk about startup franchise companies that do not have any franchisees in place. So really the only historical data they would have would be from company-owned stores that they had operated prior to franchising. So what type of Item 19s have you been structuring for startup franchise companies?
Well, for various startup companies, we've done Item 19s that were based, some of them, just on gross sales. If they've been in business for 3 or 4 years, you can go back 3 or 4 years and put gross sales for each year. Sometimes we average them. Sometimes we take highs and lows if they have multiple locations. Sometimes if they're in the food business, we may specifically get down to food cost and labor cost and, you know, other costs like rent and utilities. If they're a home-based business, we may just do revenues, and we may, you know, not get down deep into the EBITDA numbers. It all depends on the type of concept that you have and what kind of numbers the franchisor has that they can share with us, and we'll evaluate that and we'll find the best way that we can share those numbers and still adequately represent the brand and the numbers, you know, truly and adequately.
So if you jump to a more mature system, if the mature system is going to be disclosing numbers Do you find that most of them that you've come across tend to just disclose top-line revenues, or do you find that there's more and more pressure for mature systems to also disclose EBITDA and profit margins?
I think some of it depends on the investment. So the higher the investment level, the more pressure there is to disclose, you know, all the way down to the EBITDA line for those types of concepts and companies. I think that a lot of franchisors, as they're more established and larger franchisors, are just, you know, sharing gross sales numbers, some top line costs, and those are really the categories. Some of them are just doing an item 19 based upon their corporate locations. Some of them are doing them just based on regions. There's lots of different ways that you can.
And I see typically they do it based on length of time that the units have been operating.
Absolutely. We do that with all of our item 19s. And certainly you'd want to check with your local, you know, attorney and as to what makes more sense for you. But we certainly sit down and talk with the company's counsel and the franchisor to figure out the best way to convey the numbers to for the FDD.
Now, if a franchise company says we would like to have an item 19, but at this point, for one reason or another, we cannot. Obviously, they're going to get the question in the sales process of how much money am I going to be able to make. They're not going to have the item 19 to back it up. If you're in that situation, how would you go about trying to speak with the franchisee when you know you're limited and you can't talk about any historical financial data or make any projections as to their future performance?
It's really the way that you did it 10 and 15 and 20 years ago in the franchise industry. You can't share numbers if you don't have an item 19. If you don't have any franchisees out there for them to talk to validate, you need people to just do their due diligence on the business. Are there other companies that are in a similar business out there that they can look at to get an understanding of the business and the offering? Can they, you know, sit and evaluate the operation? If you're in a restaurant, what I would recommend for a potential candidate is spend time in the restaurant. Sit there and watch how many customers come in during lunch hour, how many customers come in during dinner. I mean, you can't stop them from doing that, and that will give them an idea of the kind of revenue that you're probably doing without obviously putting it in an FDD document in item 19. Now, they're not going to know the cost. They're not going to know all your expenses, but at least they'll have an idea. Obviously, they need to do their homework. They need to understand the brand. They need to get passionate about the concept. Typically, your first few franchisees in any new franchise startup, they're your pioneers. They're people who really believe in you and believe in the concept and the brand, and you know they're willing to take a chance to get the prime territory that's still available and to be your first few franchisees.
All right, Steve. Well, I appreciate you taking the time. And if people want to learn more about you, why don't you give them your website?
Sure. If they want to learn more about our company, they can go to smbfranchising.com. That's smbfranchising.com to learn more about us.
Excellent. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Adam. Thanks for having me today.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's installment of the New Jersey Legal Update by Stark & Stark. And be sure to join us each and every Friday for another insightful discussion. We'd like to hear from you. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information about Stark & Stark and the services we provide, email us at podcast@stark-stark.com.